Johnny, lots of Radio 1 mailbag listeners have written in about the jingles that you use on the station. Can you, I mean, just to sort us out on this one, why do we have jingles to start with?
Well, I suppose really, Simon, the justification for the jingles perhaps could be put over far more eloquently by the people who make them for us. And this is part of a presentation which came from the Jam Jingle Company, who make our current package.
Radio programming has gone through many changes in the past few years, and so has the thinking behind the use of jingles. As always, the primary purpose of an ID package is identification, to remind a listener what he's got on so he can recall it during rating periods. But many programmers are realizing once again that a jingle can convey more than just the name of the station. It can also convey an image, some slogan or thought about the radio station. In other words, a jingle can do more than just name the product. It can say something about it. And this can make the product more memorable.
Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, things go better with Coca-Cola, things go better with Coke.
Now it's Pepsi, for those who think young.
Face it, how well would you have remembered the Coke jingle from 10 years ago if it had been
Coke?
And more importantly, how would you have distinguished between Coke and its competitors if they had been using jingles like this?
Pepsi!
Day after day. Of course, it seems ridiculous. Such an absurd thing would never happen, right? Well, maybe not between Coke and Pepsi, but how about between you and your competition? It could be happening right now. If you're promoting yourself with just call letters, and your competitors do the same, how can you expect listeners to distinguish between you? By turning on your station, a listener is actually asking you for entertainment. He or she is asking you to supply music, news, information. Your jingles should give an immediate answer to those requests, not in a roundabout way, but right to the point. When a listener asks you for music by turning you on, you should answer,
"You've got it, woo! You've got the music, WCBN."
Well, of course, in Radio 1 terms, that was eventually turned round and became a jingle for Radio 1, which sounded like this.
You've got it, soul music, on Radio 1.
Well, that's all well and good, Johnny, but the thing about those, and one of the things that mailbag listeners have said, is that they all have an American feel, an American influence. How come Radio 1 got involved in that in the first place?
Well, yes, I suppose they do, and I have to admit they're very American, because the whole thing came from America in the first place, Simon. I mean, over there they had a very similar situation to us, in that they had a very overcrowded medium wave band, and they have a number of stations broadcasting in any particular town, and there was a need to identify in an attractive way station identifications. There was a need for station IDs or identifications, and on that cramped medium wave they found a variety of different ways of explaining that or getting it across to the listener. And when Radio London and Radio Caroline and the various stations started up in pirate fashion over here in England, they too had to make themselves felt in competition with the Old Light programme and various other Radio Luxembourg and those sort of stations that were going on. So they too went to the companies well known for making jingles in America and came up with things which sounded rather like this.
Much more music every morning, Radio London, for you and me.
Now those jingles, they were made by a company called Promotions and Merchandisers, PAMS for short, and they were actually considered by jingle freaks, and there are people around in England who collect jingles rather like some people collect stamps. Jingle freaks go around collecting, and they have vast tape libraries in their own homes of different sorts of jingles, and the legendary series 17 and 18 perhaps were some of the best known. I mean, here's another one that was made by PAMS for early pirate radio.
This is wonderful Radio London, where you're
and certainly a lot of the older listeners to Radio 1 will remember that one. They made jingles for all sorts of specific spots. They even had a jingle for going to church in the mornings.
Radio London reminds you, go to the church of your choice.
Well, perhaps, but down here on the more spiritual or less spiritual world, when people like Tony Blackburn and Kenny Everett and those sort of people came along to join Radio 1, And I was obviously very instrumental in setting up the station sound when we started converting the old light programme, because, after all, you must remember the BBC was commissioned to set up under broadcasting in the 70s a new sort of pop service, which was to replace the then illegal pirate stations. It was necessary that we should run the same sort of sound. So it was only natural that Kenny and Tony came to me and said, well, look, we ought to have jingles. And we went to PAMS, because they were the company who were perhaps the best known and most popular people doing it at the time. So PAMS turned out jingles for Radio 1, which were not too dissimilar from those which they'd been doing in America and those which they had been doing for Radio London.
Radio 1, that means music.
We tried to anglicise them by using the London Bridges Falling Down musical logo to identify it particularly with the BBC in London. So the result was something like this.
Radio 1 is wonderful.
And that's what we call an a cappella jingle, where it's just the voices without any instrumental accompaniment.
But it seems that you're still tied to American companies, Johnny. How's that happened?
Well, yes, in those days, Simon, there weren't really any English companies geared to making jingles. PAMS were perhaps the original company who'd started doing them for the majority of the major stations in America. And over the next few years, PAMS actually declined slightly and various other companies came in. If you want to perhaps give your listeners an example of the differences in production techniques, here's a jingle made by a different company for Radio 1 in the early days. Perhaps this is around about 1971, I guess. We could re-edit that one and sell it to Radio 3 since they're now on 247. But, you can see it's not got as much punch, it hasn't got the edge to it, it hasn't got the brass writing, so there's fairly, you know, incredible degree of sophistication and technique involved in making these jingles, and it's a very specialised thing, actually. Over the years, we tried different companies, and about 1973, commercial radio in the United Kingdom was being set up, and there was a young man called John Wolford who came to see me. He had served his apprenticeship with PAMS, perhaps realised their limitations and set up on his own, and he came to see me and brought a very impressive demonstration package, and here's just a quick snoop from it to show you the sort of thing he presented to Radio 1 at the time.
Radio 1's jingle should be strong, bright and functional.
The station of the nation, Radio 1.
An exciting sound.
247, Radio 1.
As you indicated, Radio 1 has many features requiring unique intro jingles.
247 weather check.
So how do you actually go about making the jingles, Johnny?
Well, John comes over each year, and obviously he's making a variety of jingles for numerous American stations, and he brings along the demonstration packages, and we sit down perhaps with one or two of the other producers who are very actively involved and interested in this particular aspect of our presentation, and we work out how to rewrite them using perhaps sometimes their existing music tracks. On other occasions, we have what's called custom tracks when the music is made specifically for us. For instance, you can start out with a jingle which in America would sound like this.
WABC.
And we would say, yes, John, I can see this would be very suitable for our trailers for the new Radio Times.
It's out today. The new Radio Times.
Or here's another one which started out in America for WABC, like this.
WABC.
And here in England, we make very extensive use of it to illustrate the week's number one.
Britain's number one.
Okay, well, I can see that they're used as sort of station identification and even for advertising products or programmes, but what other purposes do jingles serve, Johnny?
Well, to my mind, they're the gloss on the presentation. They make us different from Radio 4 and Radio 3 in the sense that we can make this peculiar identification for Radio 1. And also, there are occasions when perhaps the disc jockey doesn't feel the need to say anything between records, and we can use what we call transitional cuts, which take the music logically from perhaps a fast record to a slow one. Here's a jingle which started out in America like this. And we gave it to our disc jockeys to use when they were coming out of a fast record and wanted to go into a slow one, and we adapted it, and it came up like this.
Johnny, I think I've understood a lot more about jingles than I did before. Thanks very much indeed. Do you think that jingles will go on being used in the future?
Oh, I think so, Simon. I think inevitably they change and styles change. Of late, they've become much shorter. They used to have long messages and selling slogans and what have you. Increasingly, they're becoming just an identification for the station or perhaps an identification for the wavelength. But in all, to me, they just add up to...